the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Those who are following the Anuens spirituality or who are following the progress of the liturgy know that in the month of August we have these three big feasts of glory. Last week we had the Transfiguration, today the Assumption, next week the Queenship of Mary. And of those three feasts, this is the highest ranking. This is a solemnity. This is a big, big feast. In fact, it's a holiday of obligation in the universal church, but in many places, like in the Philippines, that obligation has been lifted by the bishops. But in the mind of the church, this is one of the big, big feast days of the year. Solemnity. It's like the conclusion of the Novena of Glory that started last week on the Feast of the Transfiguration. What we saw in Jesus' face and clothing on the mountain last week, now we see in Mary's glorified body in heaven. Now, most people aren't thinking about the Transfiguration today. I hope people are coming to Mass today. It's nice to see everyone here. Perhaps we can start our reflections with a little less heavenly idea, a little more earthly example of celebration, fresh in the minds of many in the world, is the Olympics. You can think of the Assumption as something like the bestowing of the gold medal. So Carlos Yulo, after achieving the excellence in the gymnastics field, he climbs up on the podium and they put a gold medal around his neck and they play the national anthem and everybody claps and the whole nation rejoices. That's something like what the Assumption is. It's like getting the gold medal. It's the greatest possible victory. Now, getting a gold medal in the Olympics might be the greatest possible earthly victory. So translate that to heavenly realm and you get a sense of what the Assumption is. It's climbing up to the pedestal and getting the greatest possible honor. That's why in the Psalm we said that the Queen stands at your right hand arrayed in gold. She's wearing her gold medal. If you want to extend that earthly analogy a little bit, you can say that the big celebration that took place in Manila yesterday is something like we're going to celebrate next week the Queenship. Because once Mary got to heaven, once she was assumed, then she was crowned. Not with a crown of gold, but with a crown of glory. We don't know what she's wearing because she's in heaven, but she's arrayed in gold. That's something like what happened yesterday in Manila, the victory parade and the honors given by the president and by the government and by the crowds of people, and there's a parade, and it's a celebration of the victory that took place some 10 days ago, or what, 8 days ago. I mean, he's already got the gold medal. Why do you have another celebration? Well, because it's fitting. It's a fitting thing to celebrate victory. So we will celebrate the victory of Mary again next Thursday on the Feast of the Queenship, which is the feast day of this shrine, by the way. The Queen, our Queen Mother is the patroness of this shrine. Okay, let's think a little bit about what we're really celebrating. It has this unfortunate name, Assumption, at least in English. That word Assumption usually means something that you consider true even though you don't really know. That's how we usually use the word assumption. My assumption was that the road was closed. But maybe it's open. I mean, I don't know. I'm just assuming. I'm assuming it's closed. Well, that's not that definition of assumption doesn't apply to this feast. We're not talking about something that we're just treating as true. This is true. This is true. So this is not an assumption in that sense. It's a technical use of the term to take up or to be taken up. To be taken up. Mary was lifted, taken up, assumed into heaven. Maybe mas malinaw sa Tagalog, pag-aakyat sa langit. Hasmini Nova or Hindi. Everyone's looking at me like I said something confusing. But anyway, that's the Tagalog term for the feast, pag-aakyat. Okay, taken up. Well, this is a glorious mystery, by the way. We ponder it every time we pray the glorious mysteries of the Rosary. And it is glorious, for sure, but it's also mysterious. That's why it takes some pondering, because it's mysterious even more than some other mysteries of the Rosary, because we don't really know the historical details. Like, we certainly know that Jesus was born, or we certainly know that Jesus was brought to the temple. There's historical details. We know who's there. You know, Simeon and Anna were there at the presentation, things like that. But when we get to the Assumption, there's no scriptural description of what happened at the end of Mary's life. There are some traditions, but they don't always agree with each other. One tradition is that she was, at the end of her life, simply taken up. Like the ascension of Jesus on the mountain. And the apostles saw the ascension. They were eyewitnesses of his ascension. But there's no scriptural description of eyewitnesses of the Assumption. Now, another tradition is that Mary actually died. Or in the Eastern churches, they say she fell asleep. The dormition. She fell asleep. And then her body was taken up. And the church doesn't define exactly what happened. It just says that at the end of her life, at the end of her earthly life, she was taken up, body and soul, into heaven. We don't know when it happened. We don't know where it happened. Some traditions point to Ephesus. Other traditions point to Jerusalem. We don't know how old Mary was. Now, if you really want to get into the details of this, a lot of scholars assume, they don't know for sure, but they assume that it happened after the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke were written. Because if they knew about it, they would have put it in the Gospel somehow, especially Luke and the Acts of the Apostles. So they say the Acts of the Apostles might have been written in the 70s, or maybe if this assumption happened after that. But according to that theory, now again, this is just speculation, the assumption took place before the fourth gospel was written, John's gospel. Not that John mentions it in the gospel, but in his gospel, but John does refer to this woman and even uses the term woman in reference to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so it seems that John has a different perspective on Mary than the other three Gospels do. And John is also the author of the book of Revelation, from which we read this marvelous passage, Revelation chapter 12, the sign of the woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet. John is the one who wrote this, and he's certainly referring to a heavenly mystery, a heavenly woman. Now, he doesn't say the Blessed Virgin Mary was assumed into heaven. But he does describe a heavenly woman who engages in a battle with the dragon. So a heavenly woman, a victorious woman, but also a warrior woman who is victorious because of the victory granted her by heaven. So again, that's speculation that maybe John knew about this and presented it in a symbolic way. It's not hard to imagine that John knew about it, because once Mary's body was taken up to heaven, the word would have spread very fast and everybody would know. So that's why in the early church, there are ancient traditions that Mary's body was taken up to heaven, or at least that it's missing. Now, who saw it? Who was with her? We don't know. You can ponder this, or even look into the lives of the saints. One thing that is not part of the tradition, the church doesn't point to Marian apparitions that take place later and say, because Mary is assumed into heaven, she can appear to St. Bernadette or to the children, the shepherds in Fatima. That's not how the church takes it, because apparitions don't prove a bodily assumption, right? I mean, other saints appear to the visionary sometimes, right? And they aren't assumed. So an apparition doesn't by itself prove a bodily presence in glory. Sometimes people think of these things in their speculation, so just eliminate that one. Mary appearing at Fatima, yes, she did appear. And she and the children saw her as a real human being, a heavenly being, but still a real woman, not a ghost. But remember, at least Lucia anyway, she also saw St. Joseph. Was St. Joseph assumed into heaven? Is his body glorified? Well, again, those things are speculation. Okay, let's get past the details, the historical details, and reflect a little bit more on what this glorious mystery means. And there's a lot to this, so let's just touch on a few ideas. One is the assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary shows us the full range of Mary's life, it, beginning with the Immaculate Conception and ending with the Assumption. And both of these are defined dogmas and Marian truths of our faith. In the case of the Immaculate Conception, it's clearly a work of God. And Mary has very little to do with it because she was simply preserved at the beginning. She couldn't act yet because she was just being created. But when it comes to the Assumption, we celebrate not only the great work of God, which it is, we're celebrating the perfect collaboration with the great work of God, because Mary remained free from sin throughout the whole of her earthly journey. And so it's fitting that she be in glory. It's fitting. It's fitting that a human person with no sin be given a place that signifies that perfection. It doesn't mean she earned her way into heaven, and nobody does. We don't even earn our way into life. I mean, we don't earn our way into anything. We receive from God. But it is our responsibility to collaborate with God, and sin is the opposite of the collaboration. So when we reflect on sin, we naturally think of punishment or at least consequences, and they're not heavenly. And we see them all over. We see them all over the world, but we see them in our own life. Consequences of sin. But in Mary, we don't see the consequences of sin. She's free. She suffered. She suffered because she was in a world of sin. But she didn't suffer consequences of her own sin. She had none. So that's part of what we celebrate here in light of Mary. But going further, we also see God's plan for every human being. God created us in his own image to share his glory, to share the fullness of his life with us, as he's doing with Mary right now. That's God's plan for every human being. Sin marred the plan or interfered with the unfolding of the plan, and Mary is the first to show that the plan is fully restored because of the victory of Jesus Christ. I think you know that. I don't have to explain all the theology. It's because of the victory of Jesus Christ that it's possible for Mary to be preserved from sin and also assumed into heaven. But that victory is not just for Mary. That victory is for every human being. In fact, it's for all creation. This gives us another reason to hope that we not only can go to heaven, but that we can, at the end of time, with the resurrection of the body, that we can reign in heaven, in our bodies, in our glorified bodies. It's what sounds like a preposterous idea, even impossible to think of, is actually true, and it's a real hope. Death, which is the separation of the soul and the body, is a terrible rupture of the human being. We are body-soul beings. And even the saints in heaven are awaiting that reunification with their bodies, the glorification of their bodies. The saints in heaven, other than Mary, we don't know about Joseph or you know Elijah or the Moses. We don't know exactly if there's anybody else, but for sure Mary is already experiencing that wholeness, that completion of the work of God. And this is what we look forward to. We look forward to it in this life, we look forward to it in the next life, until the resurrection of the body. Okay, one last thought about this. This also gives us another insight into a modern idea. The idea of the resurrection of the body is not a modern idea. But what St. John Paul II coined as the theology of the body is a modern idea. See, what the Assumption helps us recognize is the dignity of the human person, including the dignity of the human body. And this is a modern expression, theology of the body. And it's an antidote to the modern degradation of the body. The body so often is used, objectified, abused, neglected, both in life and in death. That's why people just cremate the bodies and just throw their ashes around. Because they don't understand that the body is a sacred icon of the person, that the body is part of what it means to be human, and that the body, God has a plan for our bodies, just as he had a plan for the body of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So we're talking about big and beautiful, glorious mysteries. This feast day lifts our minds and hearts to heaven. Lifts our thoughts to the glory, to our mother in glory, and to our own future in glory. So it's a real cause for a joyful celebration. Happy feast day to everybody.